again this morning to the 23rd Psalm. I don't know just how many more messages I'll preach, but the first two verses I've had to go three on each one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Couple here in the church brought one of the little sweet girls and said this last week, quote the 23rd Psalm for Brother Hill. Well, she was too bashful to do it, but I knew she could. But I said to her, honey, you can quote it, and I began to know a little about it. And this psalm is the expression of a man that has tested God and has found him to be sufficient for anything that comes to life. And that's the underlying word of the first chapter, the first verse is assurance. The confidence of most of the church today has been placed in men, in religious stars, in religious organizations, and religious meetings. But there's only one assurance that can come to the heart of a Christian that will enable them to face what they will and must face. And that is the assurance that Jesus Christ can give to a heart and a life, that if it's to walk on water, if it's to survive a fiery furnace, if it's to stay with the lions, if it's to defeat a Goliath, if it's to take captive a great army with no visible means, it's that assurance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can enable his people to do anything and everything. Now, some of us, we look on a Christian life as a difficult life, as a hard life. But the way of the transgressor is the hard life. And the reason you come up against odds is because God wants you to learn to trust him. One man with God is a majority. And once you find that out, you'll be able to do anything that God tells you to do. Now, you aren't going to go out here and do a lot of things he don't tell you to do. That would be of your self-will. But I want us to notice then in the second verse, we found he leadeth me. He maketh me. We're made to ask, does God care for me? And will God help me in everything that comes my way? It doesn't matter. Yes, he will. But when a sinner, you must realize he loved you so much. There's no way that I could ever tell that, but I'll just say, in your own heart of hearts, in your own heart of hearts. Pick up all of the vile and the evil and the horrible things that men have ever done. And then say, that's me. Could you love you? Do you love, would you have loved Hitler? Would you have loved Nebuchadnezzar? Would you have loved this fellow that's down here in a holding place that confessed to over 240 murders? Who shot a woman through a window out here in Cherry Hills and then went in and ravished the dead body? Could you love that person? God did. Well, now, if God so loved you and me while we were sinners, you tell me, how can you stretch your imagination and let the devil deceive you that he wouldn't also freely give you all things? Oh, the attitude that some Christians have. God loved me enough for his son to die for me, but now should I slip, and God forbid, should I depart, and God forbid, God now hates me. He's against me. Oh, you'd better rearrange your thinking. And if that's the kind of a pastor that you're following, you'd better forsake him. Because he is not representing to you the good shepherd and the great shepherd of the sheep. But notice, me. I mentioned last Sunday that the telescope and the microscope were invented about the same time. And it speaks of the mighty creator of the stellar spaces, how he puts forth that same resource of his omnipotence and the secrets of his wisdom on a drop of water. It is just as easy for God to make a drop of water as it was for him to create the great spaces. No problem. No problem. You see, there are no degrees of power with omnipotence. The simple question is, what is the sphere of his power? And what the method and the motive of its exercise? What does he want to do in you? He can. You suppose he started you out to kick you out along the road somewhere? That was not his purpose. Now, I suggest he who notes the sparrows fall and numbers the hair of the head surely must care more for me than he does that sparrow and one of the hairs of my head. And precious hearts, we do him the greatest of dishonor by doubting for a moment his full and tender sympathy for each redeemed child. If there is no limitation of his divine power, neither is there of his infinite love. Paul challenged that love. He said, what shall separate us from it? And he found out nothing could. Nothing could. Oh, how precious it is to know this. So his power says, I can do. And his love says, I will do. I'll do it. And if the doctrine of divine providence be a false doctrine, it's one of the cruelest delusions that can ever mock a man. Now God has a plan for the eternities, and His purpose will carry that plan out. Brother Franklin referred to the second psalm the other night in his sermon, "Let us break His bands asunder." And when you said that, Brother Franklin, I thought of that time my sister is here. And at one time, her husband in World War I, he broke mules for the army. I was a little fellow about 7 years old at that time. And he broke mules for the biggest mule man in the world. Down there by Lathrop, Missouri, Brother Franklin, close to where you are, the big mule farms and the big mule barns. I understand some of them still stand. I haven't been back there for a number of years. But I would go to the fields with March. He'd get one of those young mules just as wild as one of these mountain goats. And they'd throw a lasso on him. And then they would snub him down. And then they'd get that mule's ear and bend it down, and one of the fellows would get it in his teeth. And they'd put a harness on him. And they had a great big old gray horse. He must have weighed over a ton. You couldn't have moved him. And they'd snub him to that old horse. And that mule would kick and buck, and he'd squeal, and he'd neigh. And that old horse would just drag him on down. Let us break his bands asunder. Reckon that mule said that? He thought it. But he found out he was up against an irresistible force that just dragged him where he wanted to drag him. Now you'd better find out, precious hearts, that God has a plan. Divine providence has set forth a plan. And you can kick and buck all you want to, and the nations can, but that plan is going to come to pass. It'll run on schedule. It won't be a split second late. It's going to come to pass. You'd better believe it. Now, but then, note, He maketh me. He maketh me. So He has a plan for me. Now He has an overall plan. Brother Franklin has been telling you about the ten horns, the Antichrist. God knows all of this. It's going to come to pass. Don't you know that? Sure, He's reading history before history is made. One day, if you wanted to, if you were so stupid, you could check the records and see if it came to pass. It's going to come to pass. Don't you know that? Oh, you say, Brother Hill, you think of how powerful Russia is. Every nation in the world disappear if he wanted to. He wouldn't even have to blow. You don't have to blow. Might take a little effort to blow. But you see, He's placed me in the body as it pleased Him. And He's with me to enable me. Always the same, always righteous, by night and by day. In the quiet times and in the troubled times, when I'm not conscious of it as well as when I am purposing, He is purposing my good. and contriving my happiness and enabling me to win the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now you may ask, and occurs, I think, to every Christian that goes with God, if divine providence rules, why should I have to pray? You see, the hard-shell Baptists took the attitude, what is to be will be, and some others did. There, yeah, nothing can change it, it's going to be. I had a man tell me, he said, if those boys of mine were born to go to hell, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, bless your heart. What about prayer? For man is a creature of prayer. But we have to understand that we must not have the notion that prayer moves God with His infinite and unerring wisdom from His plans. You can't move God from His plans. I know a lot of Christians that don't want Jesus to come. Not until they see their great-grandchildren graduate from college. But Jesus is going to come. He's going to come on schedule. And you better make up your mind. I can hear the old train tooting now. Can't you? It's getting close. Well, precious hearts, prayer prevails in those needs that don't go beyond the plans of God. And prayer can bring miracles to pass in your life. And so we can expect answers to our prayers. Miracles are never against nature, but simply above nature. Nature said, Abraham, you're finished. But God said, I promised you a son. Sure. Joshua, you know good and well, you stupid fool, that they're going to escape in the dark. The sun just has so many hours. He said, sun, stand still. What happened? Now, God didn't violate anything. That didn't change His plans. That just worked a miracle. Now, you can't pray God out of His purposes. No. And so, miracles aren't against nature. You remember James said, you have not because you ask not. Because when you ask amiss. He said, you want to consume it on your lusts. So God arranged providence so that He provides an answer to prayer. But John said, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And thus many prayers go unanswered because they are not for our real good and according to the will of God. But when we pray in the Spirit and the will of God, we receive. So we're told to pray everywhere and all the time and not to faint. And rightly understood, prayer is simply a child going to a father who longs to give abundantly. Or to a king whose scepter always points, says, come. Boldly. Come on, boldly. I know you're in need. I know you fell down. I know you dirtied yourself. I know you got in trouble. I know. I knew it before you did it. But I love you. Peter, you're going to fail. Devil wants to sift you like wheat, but I'm on your side. Oh, isn't it wonderful So, however, if our own will is in conflict with His, remember this, even Jesus Christ, in the shadow of His predestined cross, cried, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we're told Paul said he was heard in that he feared. And there in that garden, when those rats came and took him captive, Peter jumped up and whacked off the servant's ear to protect him. And he said, Oh, now, Peter, put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup my Father gave me? So, He'll give you a cup. And if it's the purpose of God, He'll enable you to drink it. So it isn't wrong to do a little struggling. I think we all do. No, I know just I do. All the rest of you, I don't know what keeps you out there. You're already perfect. But here, let me point out two things. And one is a caution that can prevent disappointment in your life, while the other is a truth that suggests comfort. And one is that divine providence is for all. That is, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. And again, I say, such won't change. His works are going to come to pass. They won't change. You're not going to make Him take another plan. He has His plan. You talk about thinking through the engine on an airplane. This was all tried 7 times. Way under in the abyss of time, God thought it out. No mistake in it whatsoever. And again I say, it won't change. And the other is that special providence, me. You see, we are given a choice. Do I want God's will in my life, or do I? Israel came up to Kadesh Barnea. What was God's purpose? What was His plan? Go on in. Don't ask me. I told you before you got here what it was going to be like. Go on in there. I told you there were 7 nations greater and mightier than you. They got over there just like you and me. Got to thinking about what was over there, and let's go over there and see if God really did tell us the truth. Well, when the devil gets you on that kind of ground, he's already got you in a downhill swing. You begin to doubt this book, and you're in trouble. So here we are. The overwhelming evidence is 10 against 2. It's always that way. Devil can say, look around, feel. Can't you see? It's all against you. Oh, that wonderful Paul. He said, if God be for us, who? You say, Brother Hill, I don't know whether He's for me or not. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up freely for you all, isn't he for you? Sure, he's for you. Well, you know what happened? God's plan was to give him the land. And from the time they left Egypt, or before, a pillar, well, from the time they left Egypt, of course, the pillar and the cloud went before them by day and by night to lead them to the land. And here at Kadesh Barnea, in unbelief, they refused the goodness of God. And so often, after that, the judges and the seers and the prophets told them God's will for them through supernatural means. But they would not. Now, do you think God would have kept his word? You know he would. But their failure didn't make him fail in his purpose. It just failed in their lives. That is, they failed. There was no failure for God on that. But now today, God's providence may not be known by outward evidences necessarily. Under some circumstances, I know God's will may be given through gifts of the Spirit, dreams, and so on. I'd have to deny what he did to me if I denied that. But, however, such will never be contrary to the Word of God. I've had many people say, Brother Hill, God told me to get up and leave this place and go over yonder and help them legalists and so on. No, God never told you that. You're just mistaken. You're following your own will. Party just called me the other day. Well, God told me to support so-and-so. I said, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. You can't tell me that. Because it's contrary to the Word of God. Well, I'll stop meddling now. So, however, there is that personal providence. He promises to lead me. An honest, humble, simple, and persevering prayer is all that I can do. And God knows this. God knows how weak I am. I just can't find out myself how weak I am. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Oh, you can have church, you can build buildings, you can have seminaries, you can turn out sausages. But precious hearts, listen to me. You can do nothing apart from the will of God. God knows it. And He knows what I am, and He promises wisdom if we will ask. The Bible says He will give us as much as we ask. Amazing how many people can advise you with their great store of wisdom, and you'd be better off if they never said a word to you. Don't you know that? But when you get Him, you have peace. When you hear from Him, you have peace. Oh, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. King, you a great world dictator. Our God is well able to deliver us from your furnace. But let's just say he don't. We're not going to bow down and worship your gods, and you just well to put it in your book right now. Peace? That kind of peace passes understanding. I'll tell you, it hurts me awful when I just kind of drop a little grease on my finger. Can you imagine being thrown in a furnace? Have you ever thought how thin that shield got right at that time? It could burn the bonds, but not leave a smell on their clothes. See, you don't have to put a 40-foot shield between you and your trouble. He said, I'm your shield. And he's like the thin man. He can get thin. But precious hearts, if the vision tarry, we must wait for it. You, most of you know how dear Brother Copley was to my life, to my heart. If you don't know it, you ought to know it if you've heard me any length of time. But did you know that he advised me to leave Denver? And the devil had been advising me to do it for quite a while. He said, Brother Hill, you've missed the will of God. Get up and leave Denver and go start out, and God will begin to direct you, and he'll captivate your steps. Now, he was as sincere, that man loved me. I have not one word to say against him. But Brother Copley didn't know the will of God for Brother Hill. And these people that are going around trying to tell you the will of God for you, unless they can back it up with the Word of God, you'd better give them a wide berth. But if we get up and go in our own will, we must not hold God responsible for the mistakes we make in our way. Many of the mistakes we make in life come from being in a hurry. So if divine providence guides all who wish to be guided by it, God must not be held responsible for the mistakes of those that he loves. Here, we must remember one thing. And do another. We need to remember we are to walk by faith and not by sight. The pastures will not always be green. The deep, limpid pools will dry up. But then, like the prophet, what if there's no figs? What if there's no olives? What if there's no meat in the fields? What if there is no flocks? What if there's nothing in the stalls? What is that? You're the one that made all of that. And I've still got you. God don't need 1,000 cattle on the hill, though they are his, to feed you. He don't need a great big clothing factory and a shoe factory and so on to clothe you. Don't you realize that? You're dealing with God. Thank him if he gives you something, but then thank him for him if he don't seem to give you anything. Hallelujah! Has he departed? You know he hasn't. Or else he's the biggest liar that ever lived. He said, I will not. I will not. I will not. Lo, I I am with you always. Well, precious hearts, we must not leave the path that he puts us in and search out for a better one, but patiently trust that God's wisdom will justify itself at last. Paul went to Rome by the way of the prison and the shipwreck. Moses went to Pharaoh by the way of Midian. So is there a providence for all, though they shut their eyes to it? Is there a purpose for divine love, counseling and desiring their good? Divine providence is for all, and it rules all, and it provides for all, and it blesses all to the proportion they're willing to be blessed. There isn't a one of you that can't have God's best. Not a one of you. But God forbid, but I would have to say, many of you are going to miss it unless his sun shines equally on and the rain descends equally on all. And in the higher purpose of his mercy, he wants to be gracious. He stands with his arms outstretched, saying, all the day come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you'll find rest to your soul. So, precious hearts, we who love him can recall that time when we didn't love him, we didn't think of him, or have any desire for him, and yet in those times he watched. He showed us grace, biding his time. Those years never quenched his love, or made him less willing to save us. I can look back in my own life and see a few times. There were many times, no doubt, but I can see a few times when, no question, I'd have probably died. We were going down the highway, a bunch of us drunken young people. Now, don't let this shock you. One night, my buddy Eddie, that you know, he had his uncle's Diana straight eight. That thing could make about 80, 85 miles an hour. Just like a big old boxcar. We'd picked up several girls. They were just as drunk as loons. Had to be to go with us. But we let one of them drive. My wife knows her. Dad owned a drugstore over there at Ledmore. She was driving. I'm in the back seat. I said, stop this thing. She had it wide open, going down the highway, black as pitch. She just laughed like a crazy drunk laugh and just kept going. I said, stop. She just kept going. Out that door I get, you had to know I was drunk and foolish or I wouldn't have tried it. I crawled down that running board, got up on the hood, and reached down and took both light sockets out of the lights. Now that's a fact. Suddenly, just pitch black, everywhere black. When she got that car stopped, we were right in the middle of the highway. I looked back and know God had to have his hand on me even then. You say, you mean he was sanctioning what went on? No, he was just being gracious like he's been to you. And like he probably is to you right now. He continued to love me. He continued to be gracious. He waited. He waited. He waited. He waited. He pleaded. He knocked. He did everything. Well, those years didn't quench his love or make him less willing to save. Now, finally, for those who do not recognize divine providence, whether you're a sinner or a Christian, there is a providence for all, though they shut their eyes to it. Is there a purpose of divine love and a counseling? Does God desire their good, though they steadily resist it and will not allow it to bless them? Oh, dear hearts, he waits to be gracious. He stands at the heart's door and calls. And as for ourselves, our past mistakes, our follies, our blunders and disasters, let's forget the things that are behind. Reach forth to those things that are before us. And let us beware of becoming fretful, feeble, anxious. And let us trust him who has never failed, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he who begun that good work in us will complete it. And God in the end can turn even our failures and mistakes to his glory and our good. So as we follow the Good Shepherd through life's journey, where the pastures may fail and the pools may dry up, he knows the way we take. And when he's tried us, oh, yes, and as dark as the day may be, at the evening we shall see light. I think of Israel as they traveled toward that land. In the distance they could see the faint blue hills. God's taken us there, where milk and honey flow, where we don't have to build houses or dig wells or plant vineyards, where it's all fixed up for us. And you, my dear brother, told that woman in the restaurant this morning, when our day is done, they're going to crown us. We're traveling, and in the not too distant distance, there's somebody waiting for me. And it isn't my mom, and it isn't my daddy, and it isn't my brothers and sisters that are already over there, and it isn't my friends, dear old brother Johnson, and some of them. Jesus is waiting for me. And when that time comes, my dear brother, I want to hear him say, well done. You've been faithful in a few things. I didn't ask you to be faithful over very much, but you've been faithful. down there in that time when people denied me for popularity's sake and to build up something, you were faithful. You told a man of truth if you knew he was going to walk out on you. Let's look there. It's going to take you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever to find out what I have for you. Hallelujah! In the ages to come.
Amen.
Wonder what the exceeding riches of His grace add up to. Well, I believed it up to this point. I'm going to keep believing it, Brother Franklin. Can get any better is go up there. I'll tell you, this is gooder than good. Huh? Don't you think so? You know, I hate to use that word, God is a good God. It seems so weak. Why couldn't they have invented a word that would a little bit describe what He is? Good? You can say people are good. So He's a lot above that. You want prayer? Let's bow our heads. Raise your hand all over this place if you need prayer. Father, we ask You now, don't let us falter. As You deal with our hearts, help us to respond. In Jesus' name.